Testing 1, 2, 3. Good. Thank you. Good afternoon. We want to take the time to pause here in the beginning and just thank you for coming and welcome you to this memorial service of Hayden March. This is really a celebration of a life that was well lived. And even though we sorrow, the Bible says that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Hayden is truly in heaven this morning, or this afternoon, because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for that. So welcome. Glad you're here. I'm going to start reading some scripture. These scriptures that I'm reading today meant a lot to Brother Hayden. And so these are some scriptures that Mitzi said she would like read because of what they meant to him. Same thing with the songs. So make sure you sing out and when it comes time to sing. But the first passage of scripture we're going to look at is from 2 Timothy 4. If we could possibly get that up on the screen. All right. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the salvation that is so freely offered each and every one of us through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are here today, gathered together as friends and family of Hayden, we thank you that a long time ago he settled that account and he trusted you as his Savior. And we thank you for the life that he lived, a life that was filled with telling people about his Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that today he is reunited with his Savior and he is reunited with his wife. So we pray, Father God, that this service would be one that would bring honor and glory to Hayden's Savior, would honor his memory, and bring comfort to the family. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song that's up on the board. It's called Bow the Knee. So the words will be up there. So make sure you sing out. Bow the Knee.
Bow the knee,
another passage of Scripture that I'd like to read. It comes from John chapter 14, the first 6 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At this time we'll have Hayden's daughter Mitzi come up, and she's going to share some thoughts about her dad.
I guess everybody can hear me. Can you hear me over there? I am a little overwhelmed, and I know my dad would be very humbled to see you all here. And so thankful for everyone. So I know first of all, seeing that this service is also being live streamed, I'd like to say hi to my sister Maxine and Vic, and to my brother Max and his wife Deb, and I miss you, and I look forward to seeing you when you come in September for Dad's interment in Danbury. I would also like to send my love to other family members around the States and Canada, my mom's family in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, and my dad's family in Maine and Florida, nieces and nephews scattered around. I love you all. A special hello to my Aunt Ruby, knowing that your prayers are being answered. Thank you for your encouragement. And thank you also to Uncle Charlie and Ginny for your prayers. And Uncle Charlie for the time that I recently saw you and we got together and studied in God's Word, and the few nuggets that you brought out from God's Word, and I'm so appreciative of that. Hope you feel better soon. I have a couple of verses for you, Aunt Ruby and Uncle Charlie. It's from Psalm 31, 23 and 24. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Before I talk about Dad, I need to explain a little bit about how instrumental my Uncle Charlie was in our mom and dad's salvation. I believe he was, Uncle Charlie was about 32. My folks were close to 40. I recall Charlie coming to visit quite a few times after he got saved, telling them about Jesus. I was about 10 at the time, and my folks were saved a year later. Charlie was obedient to proclaiming his new life in Christ and then sharing it. There is a change that takes place after you give your life to God. and it starts in your heart, and then it comes out in your life. I believe the Lord picked Charlie because he would be the one with the biggest transformation, as we know. He has the gift of gab and was naturally outgoing. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I have a little something I would like to share. It's a short piece that Charlie wrote many years ago about how my grandfather, Mark, got saved, and it really tells how God works in lives. It won't take too long. I had been saved a month, and I took my newly saved brother, Don, to witness to our dad to tell him the good news. My dad was mowing a 20 by 20 lawn, and as he looked up, seeing his two sons coming with their Bibles, he probably wished he had a whole acre to mow so that he could put us off. We told our dad we were there to tell him how he could be saved, so that he too could have eternal life and be saved from hell. The first words I heard my father say was, "I have forgotten more about the Bible than you will ever know. I used to walk to Sunday school with snow as high as my waist and 3 miles one way." Then I said, "Dad, this is your lucky day. Tell Don and I how to be saved, and we are out of here." Dad said with a nasty attitude, "Pass me your Bible." Well, I said to myself, as he was looking through the Bible from beginning to end, he didn't know the difference between Genesis and Revelation. Dad then, looking at me, said, "You're so smart, show me." And I said, "I didn't think you'd ever ask." Then my father said, "It was all Adam's fault anyway." Well, we then turned in our Bible to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, and read about Adam and Jesus Christ. I told my dad everything that Adam did to condemn us to hell. Jesus had undone all of it by shedding his own precious blood. Jesus did this when he died in our place on the cross and with his burial and glorious resurrection. So after we read the scriptures, after we read the scriptures, Romans, I said to my father, "If you were in the garden in the beginning, would you choose the tree of life, or would you choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which would lead to everlasting damnation?" Now my father was speechless. I said to my father, "You can choose the tree of life rather than to continue in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is leading you to hell forever." Then I said to my father, "You can't blame Adam anymore. It is Leland Martz's fault now, because Jesus is that tree of life. Now, Dad, the choice is yours. Choose life or continue in damnation." My father said to me on Thursday of that week, "Why don't you go talk to Millard?" Millard was the 19-year-old son of Dad's live-in girlfriend. "Why don't you witness to him instead of me?" I told my father, "Everybody needs the Lord, and age makes no difference." That following Saturday, Millard drowned in the Rockport Harbor while lobster fishing in his lobster boat, which was still going in circles, but empty. Millard's body was never found. Then 3 weeks later, Dad was sitting outside the Camden Woolen Mill smoking a cigarette when an icicle larger than 3 feet long fell from 3 stories up and struck him on the shoulder and broke his collarbone. If it had struck his head, it would have killed him instantly. When I heard the news, I had to call my father and say, "I heard the Lord tapped you on the shoulder today." My father said, "Isn't there anything that gets by you?" I am pleased today to tell you, a year and a half later, my father and his girlfriend publicly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Immediately, they got married, and I was their best man. My dear father could not speak about the Lord from then on without tears in his eyes. Thank you, Uncle Charlie, for your boldness and for your persistence. If you have ever had the chance to visit with my dad, you probably heard the questions, are you a Christian or are you going to heaven? Depending on how you answered would determine how much scripture you would hear. Dad was not one for small talk, but the Lord gave him boldness to talk about Jesus. He never mixed any of his words. Dad was a hard worker. He worked many years with his construction equipment. In the winter, they had Snowbug Village. He was known to work from sunup to sundown, and he was a good provider. Dad was a generous man. He would offer his services with his construction equipment to those that had not the means to pay, or they would work something out. He was good at giving rides in the backhoe bucket to us kids and grandkids, or anybody else's kids. When our son Jake was 8 or 9, Dad let him run the dozer on a job. Jake. He told him to level out an area. So by the time Jake was done, it looked like a washboard. I guess you could say that Dad was a patient man also. He was tender-hearted, working on the job, whether it was digging a well or a septic system or building a road. He would clear the way of any toads or anything of the sort if he had the chance, and I recall doing that a couple of times for him. He was a good grandpa and a great grandpa. Many times he would have a grandchild on his lap. He did this with Angela. He would proceed to draw something, and she would try to guess what it was before he was finished. Of course, he also encouraged memorizing scripture to the kids. He'd say, give me a scripture verse, or would give them one to memorize, and sometimes with a dollar for incentive. He was a good father, a good and faithful husband, and a friend to many, and Mom was the love of his life. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, a verse he said often. Because of Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins, raising from the dead 3 days later, which we just celebrated that this past Sunday, Dad knew that to die would first mean he would see his Savior face to face. For all eternity will Dad forever worship him. In heaven, there is no sin. There's no hate. There's no sorrow, no tears, no pain, no heartache, no disappointment. But there is love, peace, joy. There's praise being lifted up to our awesome Creator God, forever living with Him. It was in October of 2015 that Mom and Dad moved in with us. It was a blessing for Vinny and I during the time they were able to live with us. Dad wanted to make sure Mom was taken care of for when the Lord called him home, but we know now that God's plan was different. His ways are always perfect, even if we don't understand them. That's where faith comes in. They had 71 good years together. They had us 3 kids, 7 grandchildren, 17 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. September 4th, this coming September 4th, will be 4 years since Mom was carried into heaven, and it has been 3 months, 16 days since Dad has followed her into heaven. They have cast their crowns of righteousness at Jesus' feet. Dad and Mom had each other. When Mom passed, Dad and I became buddies. It was such a privilege to know him that way and to have that special relationship with him. I will miss them both. We will miss them both.
Thank you, Mitzi. Memories are wonderful to have and wonderful to look back on, and it's just neat to know what a great man he was. But his faith was in Christ alone, and that's what we're going to sing next. So sing with me, In Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter.
Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Just before the message, I want to take time to read Hayden's obituary. I know that we heard a lot from Mitzi, but I didn't realize something until today. Today's his birthday. What a day to have a memorial service. Hayden Leland March, 93, born April 22nd, 1928, of Hill, formerly of Danbury, went to be with his Lord and Savior on January 6, 2022, at his home, peacefully, with family at his side. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Hayden was born in Searsmont, Maine, to Leland March and Lillian March. He was the second oldest of six children. Hayden served in the Navy during World War II. He was stationed in Argenta Naval Base in Newfoundland, Canada. That is where he met the love of his life, Phyllis Snooks. They were married September 20th, 1947, and they had a life of 72 years together. They have three children. They moved to Danbury from Maine in 1951, and Hayden started out raising broilers and then took on chainsaw and clearing jobs. He worked on clearing for Interstate 93. He cleared trails for what is now known as Ragged Mountain Ski Area. In 1965, he bought his first snowmobile, a motor ski. From that point on, Snowbug Village was born. In 1967, the 200-year-old 40-by-40 barn was moved in a dramatic way in one piece up the back hill to settle on a natural foundation of ledge to become the lodge. I would like to hear the details of that dramatic way in which it was moved. He created 22 miles of trails on the 200 acres, which were numbered and named, such as Gospel Trail, Hell's Bend, Satan's Drop, and others. Hayden and Phyllis were pioneers in the start of trail riding and recreational concept of snowmobiling. He also has had his own construction business, which lasted for about 30 years. During this time, Hayden had many opportunities to share his faith in Jesus Christ to all that would listen. He demonstrated kindness and generosity. At retirement, they would head to Texas for the winter in their motorhome, in between traveling from New Hampshire to Newfoundland, to Montana and Georgia, then back to New Hampshire. They eventually settled in Brownsville, Texas, year-round, until moving to Hill, New Hampshire in 2015 with their daughter Mitzi and son-in-law, Vinny Corno. Hayden is predeceased by his parents, Leland March and Lillian Wentworth of Maine, the love of his life, Phyllis Snook March, from St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, his sister, Geneva, and husband, Paul, and brother, Donald, Sr., both from Maine. Hayden is survived by his sister, Ruby Sleeper, from Dover, Florida, his brother, Charles March, Sr., and his wife, Virginia, from Osteen, Florida, and brother, Leland March, from Maine. Also survived by their children, Maxine, and husband, Michael, from Perry, Georgia, Maxwell, and wife Debbie from Montana, and Mitzi Corno and her husband Vinny from Hill. Seven grandchildren, 17 great-grandchildren, three great-great-grandchildren, and a short busload of nieces and nephews. So we thank the Lord for a life well lived. You've heard mentioned the verse a few times, Philippians 1:21, which is up on the screen for us. And I would just like to pause and speak on that for a little bit. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, Mitzi had 5 pages of notes. I only have 2, so, you know. But, oh, I'm sorry, 3. But Hayden's life was all about the gospel. He lived it. He walked it. He talked it. Hayden put his faith in the Lord on full display for everybody to see. Hayden was an evangelist, and he wanted everyone he knew to hear the gospel. And as Mitzi said, he would often share Bible verses with people, give out gospel tracts, pray for many people's salvation. He prayed for many people's souls, many people in this room he prayed for. And many of you here today may have been led to the Lord by Hayden Martz. Hayden was a great blessing to our ministry here at Hill Village Bible Church. Sandy and I and the whole congregation were so blessed to have known him and his dear wife. He faithfully prayed for us. But who will pray for us now that he's gone? Let's look at our text and just take it apart for a little bit. Notice the first three words, "For to me." Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is the writer of this text. And this was his personal experience. This is Paul's personal experience. "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." But this was also Hayden's personal experience. As a younger man, we learn today, around 40 years old, he trusted Christ as his Savior because of the witness of his brother. Is this your testimony? "For to me to live is Christ." Can you say this today? You know, if Hayden could speak to us right now, I am sure that he would say, "Oh, my dear friends and family, what a wonderful place heaven is. Jesus is here. I can see him. Well, won't you trust him so you can come and see him too?" The verse goes on to say, "For to me to live is Christ." For the believer, our life is Christ. Many years ago, Hayden was born again, and Christ from that moment on became his life. And Christ was the efficient cause, and Christ was the author of his spiritual life. And he placed his faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Therefore, he was forgiven. Therefore, he was justified. Therefore, he was made righteous. He was made a child of God and given eternal life. Since Christ is eternal, when he gives us life, he gives us eternal life. So as Hayden grew in his newfound faith, he was excited to tell people about his Savior. He was a faithful evangelist and had many verses memorized. And he would often test me on Sundays after the services as we would be leaving and people would be leaving. He'd grab my hand and he'd start out a verse and I'd have to finish it. And sometimes I would start out the verse and he'd look at me and say, "That's not how this works." I wish I would have known about the dollars, though. You know, I could have got some. But he had much of the Bible memorized, which is a great blessing. "For me to live is Christ." And I believe, friends, that Hayden's life was Christ 24/7. But for the unbeliever, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, saying this, writing to the believers at the church in Philippi. "For me to live is Christ." For the unbeliever, my dear friends, you have no spiritual life. If you're here today without Christ, the Bible says that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Even though you have physical life, you have no spiritual life. And that sin, your sin, separates you from God. The Bible says for those who don't know Christ as Savior that they walk in darkness. And they have no part of God's kingdom. But they are part of Satan's kingdom, which is the power, the prince and the power of this world. And your eternity will not be one of life with the Lord in heaven, as Hades is, but it'll be one eternal death, separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. Friends, this is what the Bible says we all earn and we all deserve because of our willful sin and our trampling underfoot the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. One day, all of us will stand before the Lord Jesus as our judge. And you will have to, we will have to give an answer for our life. What will we say? I know what Hayden said. I'm here on the merits of Jesus. What will you do with Jesus, friends? Hayden's testimony. You know what Hayden told you concerning Christ. If any of you here knew Hayden for more than 5 minutes, you probably heard about Jesus. You know what he would want you to do. Trust Christ as your Savior today. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This statement makes no earthly sense. To die is gain. How can dying be gain compared to life? The answer is found in verse 23 of our text, which says, "For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Hayden's faith has become sight. On January 6th, when Hayden breathed his last earthly mortal breath, the angels ushered his spirit into the Lord's presence. And as good as his life was, he immensely gained by seeing his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that heaven had to offer. Notice it says that to die is gain. It doesn't say that death is gain. It says to die is gain. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible also tells us that while Jesus was on the cross, he paid sin's wage. He appeased the wrath of God when he made what the Bible calls propitiation for our sin, or he appeased the wrath of God. And we sing a hymn here periodically that says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Hayden did not experience death, which is separation from God. Christ did that for him when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hayden simply died. He just changed addresses. According to 2 Corinthians 5:1, he traded his temporary earthly tent for his permanent heavenly house. Hayden is experiencing today nothing but gain, and it will be for all eternity. But for the unbeliever, dying is not gain, but it's to suffer eternal loss, separated from God's presence, his love, and eternally suffering. Friends, this day awaits us all. All of us are going to die and have to stand before the Lord. One day there will be people at our funeral service or our memorial service. But this day awaits us all. And for you, will it be a day of gain or will it be loss? While Hayden was alive, Christ was his life. He walked and talked his faith. Now, he has gained. Again, if he could talk to us right now, his lifelong message would not change. But there would be some more excitement and urgency in his voice. He would say, oh, please, my dear friend, trust Jesus as your Savior. For now, I see him. My faith has become sight. And I just want to read one passage of Scripture in closing. And I want to challenge you, dear folks, today to think about your own end. And I don't know where any of you folks are spiritually. But I know that whether you believe or not, there's coming a day when you will stand before God. And you will have to answer. And what will you say? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So the Bible tells us that Jesus died for a purpose, and that purpose was for your sin and mine. He voluntarily went to the cross to be our sacrifice, to be our substitute. And he appeased the wrath of God. And 3 days later, God accepted the sacrifice. He rose from the dead because there's no hope in a dead Savior. But our Savior is alive. And the Bible says what we need to do is receive that, believe that. Trust that. It's not by good works. Hayden was a good man. But because he was a good man is not why he's in heaven. He's in heaven because he trusted Christ as a Savior. What about you? Do you know Christ as your Savior? There's no one particular church, well, no church can save you. No man can save you. Only Christ can save you. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what religious tag you hang on yourself, or it doesn't even matter if you don't believe in God. That doesn't change the truth. He loves you and sent his Son to be your Savior. Trust him. Call out on him to save you from your sin, and believe that what he did was for you because he loved you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to share the truth of your word with these dear people. And we thank you today for the life of Hayden. But more importantly, Lord, today we thank you for Hayden's Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I know that in this room there are countless people who Hayden has prayed for. Some have trusted Christ, but some haven't. Oh, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in their lives and they would call out upon you to save them from your sin, from their sin, so that one day they'll be with you in heaven. Oh, Lord, may your Spirit work in all of their lives. And we'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing one more song before we close, because he lives. And this is the reason, friends, that we celebrate today, the life of Hayden, because his Savior lives. So let's sing together. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. The Bible says, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Father, we thank you today for Hayden Mark. And more importantly, Lord, today we thank you for Hayden's Savior. We thank you for the time that you gave him to us, and we thank you for the influence and impact he had on our lives. We thank you for his faith. And we thank you, Lord, how he shared that faith. Father, we need more people like Hayden in our lives. So I pray that you would raise them up. I pray you would be with the family. I pray that you would comfort them, be with them, watch over them. And Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our comforter. This is the end of all living. May the living lay it to heart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Okay, folks, you're dismissed, and is there something back at the house? Yeah, you're invited back to Mitzi's and Vinny's house afterward, but you can come up and greet the family. Thank you so much for coming, and we'll be praying for you in the days ahead.